Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This is truly an epic event that is raising awareness and revealing just how much is happening in the world of embodiment. And this gives me hope about where we're heading as a people. I'm Amara Pagano. I'm the founder of Azul, a conscious movement path of personal transformation. I work with the body and the power of movement to awaken love and consciousness. Embodiment is a key to my work. And the journey of embodying the map of Azul is what facilitates the process of self-realization. I'm excited to sponsor the Dance and Creativity Channel to share my love of movement and to celebrate the power that it has to serve our collective evolution. If you are interested in awakening your deepest potential or curious about the spiritual and healing aspects of embodiment, I encourage you to check out Azul. Everyone is welcome. I work with people who love movement and people who have never moved. Follow the link and you'll find three gifts for you: a 50-minute Azul journey, a special discount on our online embodiment training, and a free month in our upcoming membership program. So come, check out the Path of Azul. I'll be presenting on the main stage here and in the Dance and Creativity Channel, and I hope to see you there. For now, enjoy the richness of the presentation you're about to see.
Today with us is our speaker, Evangelos, and he's a Dharma and meditation teacher, behavioral money coach, and movement workshop leader. He regularly mentors people on the art of integrating a spiritual path with a financially balanced material life through somatic expression and radical self-injury. And welcome, Evangelos. I'm passing word to you.
Hi, Antonia. Thank you. And maybe if Danny could put up that first page, that would be nice. So I want to say hello to everybody. I'm really happy to be here. And I wanted to share with you that sometimes people find it difficult to put me in a category. So they're not sure, does the work that I do belong in leadership or business or Buddha Dharma or meditation and or movement? And what I'm interested in is actually understanding all the parts of the human being and how they're put together. So in terms of the work that I do, I believe that nobody can fully understand something, like we're trying to understand things in our head, until it's embodied. And it's a daily practice to be embodied. And we have to always bring our body into a state of openness and receptivity. So what I've done here is I've combined some things in terms of for many years, I was a meditator. For many years, I taught movement, and I would be in a good state. I'd feel really good. And then I'd notice when I'd leave a meditation center or I'd leave 10 days of dancing with Gabrielle Roth, the first thing that interrupted me, the first thing that made me go, oh, get stressed out, was money, was career, was how am I going to make a living? I feel really good, but now I've got to meet the world. So I went on a journey of understanding how to bridge the material world with a spiritual world, right? So what I'm presenting to you today is the art of conscious wealth and money health, which said another way is learning how to resource yourself sustainably and with ease. So how many people could use a little bit more ease in their life in terms of survival and career? I know that I definitely could, and all of us could. Okay, so before we start the money learning process, I want us to do some movement. Now, sometimes people will say to me, well, why are we doing movement? I've gone into businesses and they've said, why are we doing movement? And what I tell them is because when you move, when you open up your body, you create an antenna. This is all an antenna. And for most people, the antenna is up here, but the antenna has to move down. So what I'm going to invite everybody to do is we're going to just do some exercises. And the first exercise I want you to do is just cross your hands like this. See that? And now move your hands back, like change your hands. So this was the first position, and this is the second position. So that's what it feels like. Does that feel a little bit strange, the second one? It's like, So that's what's happening and gonna be happening. We're going to be rewiring our brain, okay? So let's do some stretching and let's roll the neck and breathe. And roll the neck and breathe. And the other direction. Okay. And let's take our fingers and let's squeeze our eyebrows. So this is where we hold a lot of tension. Let's squeeze our eyebrows. Breathing the whole time. And then tapping on our nose and the cheeks and moving down to the jaw. And then opening the jaw. People always joke that I have one of those Spartan 300 teeth. That's what we want to see, Sparta teeth. Moving the jaw. Okay, and then tapping. This is good to do this regularly to build the immunity. A good thing to do in the time of the times that we're living in where health is really important. Tapping here. I do this every morning. And breathing the whole time, never holding the breath. Okay, and then stretching. Again, bringing the hands together, stretching out and up, breathing, holding it, and bringing the arms down, stretching them out, and twisting to the right, breathing, exhaling, and twisting to the left, breathing and exhaling. Okay. And then rubbing your hands on your eyes, wiping your eyes. And what you just did, do it to your legs. So you're literally wiping your legs all the way down. So you're flicking and wiping all the way down to the feet, okay? So flicking. And wiping. Also the belly. Flicking and wiping. Okay, and then the shoulders, rotating the shoulders, rotating, breathing the whole time. You don't really get the benefits of movement without breath, by the way, because it strains your body. And the other direction. Okay. And settling. And when you're settling, okay, when you're settling, notice when you're sitting in your seat, where the tense parts are, and let gravity, so if your left shoulder is up, no, bring it down. If you're holding anywhere, like if you're holding your stomach, I know tight stomachs are popular these days, but I like loose stomachs. I love big bellies. I think that was in a movie once. I love my big belly. So I love bellies. So letting your belly loose, not holding it, breathing, just scanning your body. Where do you hold on to tension? Are your toes curled? Flatten them out on the floor. You want the body natural all the time, as natural as can be, unless you're engaging in something, but the neutral position is always natural because you waste less energy that way. And breathing. Okay. So simply put, the reason we need money is because we have a body. So this is a little mini workshop, mini seminar about money in the body, right? So we need to feed the body. We need to clothe the body. We need to house the body. Sometimes we need to give it medicine. And these are the basics, right? Now, we don't exactly need money for these things. We need resources, right? And we need a curious spirit to understand how to resource ourselves in difficult times. We need a curious spirit. So how do you resource yourself in difficult times? And this is what we're going to talk about, because as a behavioral money coach, and even as a Dharma teacher, people will ask me these questions. And the questions people will say to me is, how do I earn money now? How do I invest money? How much money do I save? How much money should I spend? And these are all legitimate questions. And people keep trying to solve money challenges and financial challenges and problems with money solutions and financial solutions. And the problem with this is that most money and financial challenges in life are behavioral, not financial. And when I say behavioral, what I mean is there's a story inside from our parents, from our communities, that causes us to behave in an unconscious way around the most mysterious and taboo subject of all time, money. So what is money? So Danny, I'm gonna ask you to put on the history slide, which is the second slide. If you could do that for everybody and put it up, I would really appreciate that. The money slide, and if it doesn't come up, I guess I might put it on myself. Oh, fantastic. Okay, so we've been on an evolutionary journey for millions of years. These fingers took a time to develop. These eyes took a time to develop, right? So we've been evolving over and over and over again, changing, transforming, okay? And we evolve always, if you look, to make life easier for ourselves. So money was created to actually make life easy for ourselves. Because as I said before, we use money to buy resources because it makes it easier. But unfortunately, humans will often take something and they'll kind of mess it up. If we feel messed up inside, whatever we touch, and we all have done this in our lives, we start to mess it up. So in terms of money, it's only been widely used for 250 years, right? So we can't wisely use it because we haven't integrated or evolved to understand and embody the concept of money. It's a new energy on the planet. And so for most of history, we were hunters. We were out hunting and we brought home food. We brought home resources. So now we hunt money in offices. We hunt money online. We hunt money, you know, in different places out of our natural environment. Home resources. So now we hunt money in offices, right? So we have become disintegrated and disembodied. And there aren't really a lot of people that have a very conscious and healthy relationship to money. And that's only because we're not sure how to be with it. And one of the problems I'm experiencing in terms of the people that I coach is that we've made money the most important thing on earth. And so we've attached our self-worth with our net worth. And I'm here to tell you that your self-worth is so much greater than money. So Danny, if you can put on the next slide. So money is an unexamined area of human consciousness. And what that means is that when you look at how people use money, it tells a story of the user. Is the user generous? Is the user greedy? Is the user wise and discerning, or is the user just impulsive? And people will say stuff like money's bad, or money is dirty, or money is the most amazing thing ever. So they talk about it like it's a person. So the journey is consciousness created humans, and humans created money. Therefore, money is an aspect of consciousness, right? So money is actually neutral, and the stories we put on it are what bring it to life. And so if you just take the human being, we've invested a lot of energy in money, and we're like, oh my God, I gotta get more of this. But a lot of people don't ask themselves, why do I need more? Or a lot of people will go, ooh, I don't want this at all. This is gross. But what's important is to ask, why do you think it's gross? So these are the two extremes of money. I obsessively chase it because I think my life is going to be amazing if I have more of it. Or I push it away because I feel like somehow it compromises my values. So this is an important point. And in this day and age, people talk about money and businesses and corporations, and they talk about money corrupting people. And this is, in a way, the bad news I need to share with people sometimes is that money isn't corrupt. It's people that are corrupt. And the reason why people are corrupt is because they're hurt. Is because they're lonely, is because they haven't found their purpose in this life. So then if you put your hopes and dreams onto money, and then money starts to have this life of its own, we start to feel disheartened by money. So money is an energy, and it's like a light. It's like I call it the lighthouse sometimes. It's the light that reveals the shadow. So sometimes people will say to me, well, I'm afraid to have more money because it might turn me into an unkind person. But in fact, what it does is it shows what's happening inside. So if you're a generous person, it'll shine the light on that. If you feel scared and you're protecting all the time, it'll shine. That's how you'll behave with money. So it's the light that shines on the shadow, right? So our job is to basically understand it so it doesn't have such a hold on us. And mostly how we've come to understand it is through mom and dad. And most of what we think, believe, and feel around money, we learn before the age of 10, which is why embodiment is so important, because it's some people have very big traumas around money. And a big money trauma would be, let's say your family lost all of their money and you had to live in a car. And I've coached people in various countries where their family lost everything and there was a war and they had to flee. So that would be a big trauma. And the traumatas are, and the traumas we usually know, and we kind of work with them. The traumatas are the little things, the glances somebody might give us. For example, I was coaching someone and she said, you know, every time I said I wanted to start a business, my brothers would look at me like this, you? And so that little glance, when she received it from her brothers over and over and over again, she stored in her body as a small little thing. And through movement and embodiment, and you know, we can't do a lot of embodiment in 50 minutes, but we will do some what I call repetitions for the archetypes. We start to open up the little traumatas, which are stored in the cells of the body, and they start to come out, and they're experienced as uncomfortable. That's why it's important to move and explore with a group, because when we're feeling uncomfortable, when we're letting go, things start to move, things start to percolate, things start to get sticky, and the group supports us. Okay, so let's have the next slide, Danny. So money is woven into every aspect of our life. It's associated with survival. It's associated with death and fear. So they've done studies where you just mention the word money to people and people become afraid. It's like, oh, I don't think I'll have enough. So when I originally started doing these workshops, and I was doing Five Rhythms workshops, and then one day I said, I want to do a workshop about money. And the reason why I wanted to do that is because nobody was touching the subject in the movement and mindfulness world so much. This is 15 years ago, by the way. And I noticed that I mentioned the word money. I'd say it was called The Motion of Money, the first one, a Five Rhythms workshop. And people went, what happened to you? Why did you sell out? And I thought it was fascinating that they wouldn't read what I wrote, because the brain gets hijacked when we hear the word money. The brain goes into fight, flight, and freeze. And this is actually a physiological response, and a psychological response is that when it comes to money, we believe we never have enough. It doesn't matter how wealthy somebody is, they believe, I just want to say that to you, whoever you meet, no matter what, they believe they don't have enough money. And that's because evolutionarily speaking, we didn't think we were going to make it through the winter. We didn't think we were going to survive. And so because we hunted for food and resources were scarce. So evolutionarily speaking, we're wired to collect and gather and keep storing up the nuts just in case of an emergency. And an emergency is war. An emergency is a pandemic. An emergency is being kicked out of your tribe, which is your family or your community, right? So let's go to the next slide. Some important questions to ask. So if money were your lover, because many people do treat money as their lover, what would you say to it? So just close your eyes and ask yourself, What would you say to money if it were your lover? Would you say, why do you always play hard to get? Or you don't come around as often as you used to? Or you're so sexy. What would you say to it? What's the first thing that comes up? So the next question, growing up in your family, how did the topic of money make you feel? So for this one, put your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your belly and ask yourself the question, growing up in my family, how did the topic of money make me feel? And listen. Was it fearful, hopeful, creative, angry? And so what are some of your current challenges with money? What are you challenged by right now? What is your personal relationship to money right now? So I'm in a workshop right now, actually, Money in the Body workshop. And one of the questions I said to them, have a conversation with money. And tell them how you're challenged by it, all the things. So what are you challenged by? And then the next question, when would you believe you had enough money? And this is the question I ask people. You have to have an amount. Money is very logical. It's very linear. It's very mathematical, right? It's not enough to just understand your patterns, because 80% of our relationship, by the way, is internal, and 20% is practical. And in order to achieve goals, you have to have a target. So when would you believe you had enough money? When would you go, I can rest and take it easy? So I have news for everybody. If you seek comfort outside of yourself, which is money, you'll never have inner peace, because money can always be taken away from you, because everybody's looking for security. We're all looking for the good life and the safe life. But in terms of being a Dharma teacher, the good life is on the inside. The good life is loving kindness and living there. The good life is compassion and living there. The good life is empathetic joy. Oh, she's doing well. I'm happy for her. The good life is calm, composure, equanimity. And how long do you live there? Because money comes and goes. It's easy to lose your money. So do you want to take refuge in it? So don't get me wrong, I want everyone to have money, and I want more conscious people to have a conscious and healthy relationship to money. And part of that, in order to have that, you have to have two important qualities. One is, you have to master the art of not fearing your own survival, which in fact has to do is an existential dilemma of fearing death. Because people keep saying to me, I'm so afraid of not surviving. And I say to them, well, you have no experience not surviving because you're alive. So that doesn't make sense. And the truth of the matter is, people aren't afraid of not surviving. They're afraid of being seen as not surviving. People aren't afraid of being homeless and living on the street as much as they are having somebody see them being homeless and living on the street. In other words, this is a self-worth issue because, you know, we've all traveled, we've all slept on a beach, we've all slept in a forest. But being seen, because money is a marker of success these days. So we've attached our self-worth to our net worth, and we don't want to be seen as that. And so these are some of the things I help people work through. Okay, and imagine you have all the money you needed and more. How would that change your life? What would you do differently? Well, in a pandemic, not a lot of us could do a lot of things differently. We couldn't really travel that much. You don't want to be managing more things in a pandemic. And if you had a lot of money, would you be generous? It's an important question to ask oneself. And if money didn't exist, do you think human beings would share resources? Do you think human beings would be kind with what they have and generous? So the journey of money is dependence. I'm dependent on mom and dad. I'm dependent on my community. I'm dependent on my employer, let's say, to independence. I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to make my own money. And then the missing piece of the puzzle for me is interdependence. We're all in this together. So how do we cultivate our own wealth and share it wisely and fairly with others? It's not such an easy question to answer. And this is why mindfulness is important. This is why embodiment is important, because I make better decisions when I live in the present moment. When I know I'm resourced by a generous universe, a generous earth. The universe is generous because it keeps sending me the resources. Okay, let's go to the next slide. So money is a language. It's a language of communication, and it communicates needs and it communicates desires, right? And there's many ways to talk about it. And I said before, we talked about it in terms of earning, saving, spending, and investing. And these are really important things, and these are practical things. And again, what I'm interested in is the behavioral aspect. And the behavioral aspect is balancing the thoughts, the feelings in the body, right? And the understanding. And so I have good news in terms of people that I've coached and worked with. Nobody has money issues or challenges. They just have money issues and challenges that they project onto money. And so if you understand what you do with money, you can then go back and turn in on yourself and go, huh, that's interesting. I had some fear show up. I had some anger show up. I had some stress show up. Maybe I need to take a look at this, because feelings are a sign, negative feelings, are a sign that we need to look at something. So creating a language is important, and the language I love to use, and if you can go to the next slide, is the 8 money archetypes. Okay. And this is work that's been transmitted to me by my coach and mentor, Deborah Price. And the eight money archetypes are the innocent, the victim, the warrior, the martyr, the fool, the creator artist, the tyrant, and the magician. Okay, next slide. And again, just so everybody knows, I can spend a day on each of the archetypes. And if you haven't taken the money quiz, you can take the money quiz on my website, moneyevolution.ca, and you know, it's free, and you can figure out your money archetypes. And you can start learning about them because they give you a reference point. Okay, let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Okay, so the innocent. We're all born as innocents. We're like, oh, how did the food get on the table? How did the car get in the driveway? And so we feel a bit powerless or uncertain. And the innocent is the person also that doesn't want to look at money. So I said before, we're going to do repetitions. So this is my repetition, and I want you to do it with me. You put your hands on your face. You put your hands on your face, and then you just go, and the repetition is, I don't want to look. I don't want to look. I don't want to look. So innocents have a tendency not to open their credit card bills. Do you know that one? Anybody? Oh my God, I don't want to look at it. Head in the sand. And the fear is abandonment. And the healing is in independence and power. And so for innocence, I will say three times a day, do this. I'm powerful. Arms up. I'm powerful. I am powerful. I mean, money's not that complicated. I mean, there are more complicated aspects, but you've all been on a journey, so you can learn the basics of money. Let's go to the next slide. So the victim. So we're living in the time of the victim, and we've all been wounded. We've all had somebody betray us around money. We've all had someone hurt us, and we've probably hurt others in some way with money. So the victim lives in the past, and they're prone to blame. And the repetition I have for this one is, it's you. It's you. It's, and there's a tightness in the breath and a pointing outwards, because the victim has difficulty processing their pain. So it turns in on them. And so it's so painful. So they point it out. And so in the workshop, we do a whole bunch of repetitions and dances with dark music where you dance your victim. And so how do you move from being a victim to being a victor is forgiveness. I love that word, forgiveness. Okay, next slide. The warrior, this is the hunter. They're goal-oriented. And they take the time to look at what money is. The only way to get good at something is to study it. The only way to have a good relationship is to study what it means to be in a good relationship. To have a healthy business and profitable business is to study how to have a profitable business. And money, which is the communication between businesses, is a worthwhile study, but it's not your whole happiness, but it is part of your happiness. So the fear of a money warrior is being dependent. I'm never going to be dependent, and I don't want to lose my power. Right? And so In the archetypes, the magician is the most important archetype, then the warrior, then the creator artist, and then the rest of them you want not so high. So let's go to the next slide. The martyr. So the martyr is a person that's self-sacrificing. So 1 year, I had 4 coaching clients. They always come in groups for some reason, where they were women that inherited a lot of money. And then they sacrificed their money, their inheritance, to put their husbands through medical school. I mean, imagine in a year that showed up for me 4 times. And they were all from the same country, by the way. And what happened for 3 of them is that their husbands left them after they graduated from medical school. So, and then they're like, he owes me. And so the martyr is somebody who gives with strings attached. I'm giving you, and I've created a silent deal. And I'm giving to you because I use money as a way of communicating my needs or my wounds. And so a martyr is somebody who gives more than they receive. But when they're giving, there's a little string attached. Okay, so the healing is being open for the martyr, open to receiving help from others. Okay, let's go to the next slide. The fool, this is my little, every coach has their archetype that they might forever struggle with. For me, it's the fool, the person who's like looking for adventure, right? And I'm, as a behavioral money coach, I've learned to temper my archetypes, but you know, I get, every once in a while I get activated. And so when I go on a trip, that's when my fool gets activated. I'm just like, oh my God, I will never be in this country or in this city probably ever again, or in this restaurant. And I remember one time in Spain, this incredible restaurant, I ordered everything off the menu. And then my wife said, excuse me, what archetype is in the room? And I went, oh yeah, the fool. Because I got so excited with the food and the beauty. And the fear of the fool is the fear of missing out, the fear of living a boring life, right? And, you know, just living, how can it be boring, right? So the healing here is slowing down and paying attention to details. Just slow them down. Have a fool do a budget. Okay, next slide. The creator artist, and these are entrepreneurs, people that are creative, and they live in the world of imagination. Money's like, ah, oh, whatever, I don't care. It's the creativity that really turns them on. And you know, we need a creator artist in our life because money goes to creativity. Okay, so the repetition for the creator artist is this. Materialism, creativity, materialism, creativity, materialism, creativity, materialism, creativity. In other words, their worlds are divided. And they're afraid of living an inauthentic life. So the healing happens when they integrate the two. Right. Let's go to the next slide. The tyrant. Well, this is a tough one. The tyrants, just think of somebody having a temper tantrum. They have a tendency to just, oh, I want more. I'm going to be the greatest in this field. This is my domain. So they have a tendency to hoard money and they're self-interested. And they fear losing control. So they're trying to control things. And they can, into the extreme, they might sue you. So it's like, this is the action for it, right? Whereas for the warrior, it's victory, right? So I said before, the innocent, the repetition for powerful is this, it's the warrior, right? For the martyr, it's this: come here, I'm going to give you money, but I want something in return, but I'm not really going to tell you. For the fool, it's like, it's a party, everything is a party. And they have an up and down with money. They make it and then they lose it. And the tyrant, it's tight. It's tight. Oh, don't let it go. It's like locking the money in. Nobody's going to get into my heart because I've built up a wall of money. And so the healing is teaching them to be generous. And then the next slide. Okay, so the next slide is the magician. This is the most important archetype. They live in abundance. They live with trust. They live in flow. They live with faith, and they take refuge in a higher power. So the journey with money is scarcity. I don't have enough, which is where a lot of the planet lives, to survival. I'm just making it. Just making my bills every month, to thriving. Now I have a little bit more, but just for myself, and just a little bit more to give me some breathing space, to manifesting. I can reach, I'm a money warrior. I reach into the world and pull towards me, right? I'm a hunter. So I hunt and then I bring towards me. And then the next stage, so just keep it there, Danny. The next stage is abundance. And abundance is I'm open and available to experience what already is. The magician has made peace with their personal history. They're armed with the knowledge of the past. They're breathers. Woo! Oh my God, I'm really letting this money thing get to me. But you know what? If I live in the present moment, I'm being sourced. You're being sourced because the universe is sending gifts. The gift of life, the gift of the sun, the gift of friends, the gift of lovers, the gift of creativity, the gift of challenges, which is where we learn from. So with money, those who are challenged or have a difficult time, they become great money leaders. And seeing money as a positive tool that can support a path of awakening, a path of mindfulness, a path of helping other people. So the magician with the warrior and the creator artist work together to create a conscious and healthy relationship to money. And you can only do that if you understand that most of the times you worry about money, it doesn't even come true. Most of our worries last year didn't come true. So let's go to the next slide. So I want, I need, I'm requesting, I desire, I'm passionate about offering you the opportunity to have a money, health, and conscious wealth relationship to your life. I'm not going to say money's the most important thing, because it isn't. For me, love is. For me, a spiritual path is. And because when I die, I'm not going to take the money with me. I'm going to take all that inner work I did with me, because death is an inner journey. But life is an inner and outer journey, and money is part of that. So cultivating kindness with money and understanding, and I always say to people, it doesn't matter how much money you make, it matters what you're going to do with it. So please, if you're going to make money, you have to ask yourself, why do I want to make money? Is my identity attached to it? Is my fear of survival attached to it? What is it? And then how can I use it as a positive, constructive energy in the world? So let's go to the next slide. Okay, again, you can take the archetypes quiz at moneyevolution.ca. And a lot of people have taken it, and it's fun. You can do it with your friends and family, and it reveals a lot. And let's go to the next slide. So I have a workshop coming up in 2 weekends from now. It's, if you could put it again, Antonia, in the chat box, it's called Manifest. You can look me up on Facebook, Evangelos Diavolitsis. I've put it right on the front of my page or at meditationmoves.ca. And then I'm trying to think. I also have it on moneyevolution.ca, actually. And this is going to be online and in person. I'm living in Italy right now. So the workshop is based out of Florence, Italy, but it can be participated in any part of the world. And let's have the next slide. And then this is my new website, and I'm telling you this because I'm in the process of rebranding and having a new website. So you might get linked to Four Ways to Freedom, and Four Ways to Freedom is my journey and my partner's journey. And the Four Ways to Freedom as entrance points to understanding the self is money, movement, mindfulness, and mystery. And how do we bring the inner world in harmony with the outer world? And that's what I'm passionate about. Okay, so.
Thank you. And we also have questions here.
Okay.
Some time to answer on them. Okay. So the first question, and I also wondering if we can be guided by more than one archetype.
Good question. Absolutely. All the archetypes exist inside of us. And depending on what's happening in our life, they get activated. So if you're going through a divorce, if you lose your job, if you get a new job, they get activated. And yes, there's more than one, right? They can be, again, there's three positive archetypes: warrior, magician, creator, artist. And the rest, we call them challenging archetypes, okay? So yes, that's a good question. And you know, if you wanna know more about this, you can also do one-on-one coaching with me. I do have a few spots, not that many, but I do during the week since I'm not traveling as much. I'm offering one-on-one money, behavioral money coaching. You can see that at moneyevolution.ca.
Thank you. So if you have some other questions, please type them in Q&A, and I will go back to that in a moment. And we are finishing this session. And thank you so much. It is really, really interesting content. And I found that all these archetypes, they are really a creative way of thinking about money and embodying this money topic. Yeah. So if you want to review the session again, the recording will be available for 48 hours after this, and you can continue conversation with Evangelos in our Facebook group and also in the coffee break room. It is available on the portal. You can go there and join.
Sorry, is that right now?
It could happen after your session. So if you're inviting for communication with the people just after the session, we can agree on that and join this coffee break room where you can personally chat with no moderation, but just talk to people.
Okay.
We will put the link in the chat as well. Yeah, I see it's already in chat. And yeah, so if you wanted to view this session once again and the other sessions that are happening during the days of a conference, please check out the library that we have, and you can buy that for lifetime access and go through them once again. They are also, the recordings are also available in audio format. So while you're moving or going somewhere for a walk, walk. You can listen to those content and learn something new. Okay, so at the end of this session, oh, I see we have more questions here.
We do. We have a lot of questions. I don't know if we have time. I can give brief answers to one or two.
I think we can pick one.
Okay. How do you cultivate the magician is the question.
Yeah, let's go with that. I think I saw that a lot of people been interested by this.
Okay. So the way to cultivate the magician is, again, is to live in the present moment. The reason why people live in fear is because they're moving ahead. The magician lives in the present moment with faith, confidence, and trust. And so because they've made peace with their personal history, and you can only be a magician if you have examined all the parts of yourself and you understand yourself really well. So Socrates said, know thyself. So the magician knows themselves. They know when they're going to get activated. And they go, okay, I'm getting activated. But right away, they go, let me just have some faith. And they also know how to work with the warrior. So a magician isn't somebody who just sits in a chair and says, I will pray for money. I will pray. Did it come? Uh-huh. Or like Jim Carrey wrote on a piece of paper, $10 million. And he made $10 million. Yeah, he made $10 million. But people missed the part where he went door to door to comedy clubs and with his warrior and constantly trained. So in order to be a really good magician, you also have to be a warrior, which is putting an effort into your life.
Thank you. And for the final words, can you please tell us the top tip to stay embodied?
Yes, the top tip to stay embodied is to start your day stretching and to have a really solid stretching plan, even if it's just 5 minutes, and work from the head to the feet. And so when you leave your stretch, you're leaving from your feet, feeling all four corners of your feet.
Amazing. I will save that advice from you. Thank you. Thank you, Evangelos. Thank you, everyone, for joining at this session. And we are continuing at our day with dance and creativity. Please check the schedule for the last of the day and see you.
Thank you. So then I can go to Facebook now on the link.
Yeah, you can go on the Facebook and under the post with your recording, you can answer the questions or join Zoom coffee break right now if somebody's going there.
Oh, I think I'll go to the Zoom coffee break instead of typing.
Okay, guys. So you have a chance to chat with Evangelos in coffee break room. Please join and have a great day.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.